Welcome to the SportsCapping.com podcast with free handicapping advice, odds insights, picks, and predictions to help you beat the sportsbook. And now your hosts, Jack Jones and Brandon Lee.
It's your host, Jack Jones, with the SportsCapping.com Free Pick Podcast. It's time for Week 13 NFL and Week 14 College Football Free Picks. It's Championship Week in College Football with the four-team playoff being decided after this weekend. So it's a very exciting time of year. Brandon Lee's back with me today. We're coming off a 5-1 week on our Free Picks after going 4-2 2 weeks ago. So we're seeing it well right now. Nice work, Brandon. Welcome back to the podcast and recap your picks for the listeners.
Yeah, it's nice to finish this season strong after a little bit of a rut there in the middle. But I went 2-1 with my plays. I had a loser with UTEP plus 13.5 against UAB in college football. This was a tough one to swallow. UTEP led 17-14 at the half. They were only trailing 25-28 going into the fourth quarter. It was all downhill after UAB scored a touchdown early in the fourth quarter to make it 35-25. Then got another gift touchdown a few seconds later after the Miners fumbled the ensuing kickoff. And it definitely felt like it was the right side, wrong result type of game, which kind of was the theme of my weekend in college football. I mean, this one didn't even compare to the loser I took on Nebraska on the same day. So it was a complete opposite in the NFL. We had no business getting a cover with the Bucs minus 3, and yet that's exactly what we got with Tampa Bay beating Indy 38-31. Game was tied 31-31. Leonard Fournette went 28 yards for a touchdown, which is 20 seconds on the clock. Great play for us, but in hindsight, that probably wasn't the right play. He should have went down at like inside the 10-yard line, let the Bucs run the clock out, and kick the field goal to win it as time expired. But we'll take the regulation win by 7. No sweat in our teaser play, though. Two-team 6-pointer on the Pats minus a half and the Broncos plus 8.5. Both of those come in really easy, actually. New England beat the Titans 36-13, and the Broncos won outright 28-13.
Yeah, those two games, I was on the wrong side of both, so those were both painful. I had UTEP with you. The two fumbling twice on the kickoff, giving them two gift touchdowns was not good. Definitely the difference in that game. I think UTEP was the right side. And I had the Colts plus 3 as my only loser on Sunday in a 4-1 Sunday, so yeah, I thought the Bucks should have probably won by 3, but that's how it goes. And you got a free pick winner there on the Bucks. So there was some positive that came out of that game for me. Went 3-0 though on my free picks. One on Vanderbilt plus 32.5 against Tennessee. They lost by 24. Never really in jeopardy of not covering. Also won on the 49ers minus 3 over the Vikings. They won by 8 even after giving up a kickoff return touchdown and really dominated the Vikings. My 6-point teaser won with ease on the Dolphins plus 8.5 and Broncos plus 8.5 as both teams won outright. Brandon, we've officially climbed above 500 for the season. 37-36-1 this season through 13 weeks. On the Football Free Pick podcast, I'm 18-18-1. Brandon's 19-18. Nothing to be proud of for the season, but considering where we were a few weeks ago, it feels good. Going combined 9-3 the last 2 weeks brings us to 286 wins, 227 losses, 16 pushes. Last 6 seasons, 55.8% winners, $1,000 per game bettors, up 36,300 with minus 110 juice. How are your premium picks doing, Brandon?
Yeah, I've been taking some lumps over the last week, which has really put a damper on a great run that I had been on prior, but it just feels like it's how it's been this season. You know, I got 2 good weeks, then I have 2 mediocre weeks, and so while it's not terrible long-term, it's a very frustrating path. One area where we have stayed hot is in the NFL. I've won 17 of my last 29 on the pro gridiron, and, you know, while college is bad, it wasn't great this past weekend for me. I really enjoy this championship Saturday, and then I love the bowl season, so I'm really looking forward to that. And I also think with a little more time now with college football kind of not as prominent as it has been, it gives a little more time to focus on the hardwood, and I think we're going to see the hoops profits really start to come in here in December.
Yeah, man, October and November were about as bad a 2-month stretch as I've ever had, so yeah, I'm ready for December, but NFL is going well, 7-1 the last 2 Sundays, 6-2 last week on my NFL picks, 12-5 NFL run since November 14th. Number 3 ranked college football capper all time. Looking forward to bowl season 2. I'm on a 45-20 bowl run, so definitely always see it well in the bowls. And number 2 basketball capper all time, number 1 NBA all time. New month is upon us here, so sign up for a 30-day pass for $399. That'll get you through the end of the year. Let's get on to these free picks. What's your free pick in the championship games for college football this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to lay the 5.5 with Oklahoma State as they face off against Baylor in the Big 12 championship. Game's going to be played on the Dallas Cowboys home field at AT&T Stadium. I'm a little bit surprised we aren't seeing a heavier influx of money come in on the Cowboys, but that's a good thing in my opinion. I'd be a lot more hesitant to back Oklahoma State if this was a big public play. It feels like to me there's just a lack of trust and belief in this Cowboys team, and a lot of people aren't wanting to back them off that huge win over rival Oklahoma last week. I just don't think this is the spot to fade a team in that scenario. There's just no way, in my opinion, that Oklahoma State has any kind of letdown here and are looking past this opportunity to beat the Bears and put themselves, you know, right in the thick of things for the college football playoffs, especially, you know, not with what's happened in the past at this program. To me, that's really what this handicap comes down to, is whether or not you think we're going to get the best the Cowboys have to offer, because their best is a lot better than Baylor's best. And I think if Oklahoma State shows up, they can easily and will easily win this game by more than a touchdown. These two teams played in the regular season, and while it looks like it was a competitive game with Oklahoma State only winning 24-14 at home, it wasn't nearly that close. The Cowboys had a 401-280 edge in total yards, 24-10 advantage in first downs, and had the ball nearly 10 minutes more in time of possession. The only reason it was close is because Oklahoma State was -3 in the turnover department. You win by double digits and they're -3 in the turnover department, that's a pretty good sign that you're the better football team. And not that I wouldn't be fine with the same score on Saturday. I do think there's a strong likelihood that the Cowboys offense plays better than they did in the first meeting. I can't say the same thing for the Baylor offense, not against this Oklahoma State defense. Baylor's offense is built all around the running game, and that's the strength of Oklahoma State's defense, is their ability to shut that down. And I just don't see Baylor scoring enough here to keep this close. So give me Oklahoma State -5.5.
Yeah, Oklahoma State could need style points to make the 14 playoff too, so I don't mind this pick, even though I feel like the number's close to where it should be. Oklahoma State has a championship defense and is kind of getting slept on in terms of the 14 playoff. They give up just 16.4 points per game, 267.4 yards per game. Their offense has come to life in recent weeks, averaging 40.4 points per game in their last five. I mean, Baylor struggled to get by Texas Tech last week. 27-24 is a 14-point favorite. They didn't have Bohannon for that game. He's questionable for this one, right?
I'm not 100%, but I believe it, so.
Yeah, I think he's questionable. Day-to-day, anyway. So I don't know if he's playing or not. But without him at 100%, it's going to be hard to give the Bears much of a chance in this one. I lean Oklahoma State as well here, Brandon.
Nice. I think the best case scenario there for Oklahoma State was to not have to face Oklahoma again in this game.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Definitely, probably, you probably think Oklahoma wins a rematch, but I don't know. I think you're on the right side of that one no matter what. I mean, that first meeting was dominant by Oklahoma State, and like you said, it was probably a bigger blowout than 24-14. No matter who plays for Baylor, I just can't see him doing much on offense. So, and I like how this Oklahoma State defense is playing, or Oklahoma State offense is playing right now. So I'm going to go with Houston +10.5 at Cincinnati in the American Athletic Championship game. Cincinnati has all the pressure in this game. Winning, they become the first Group of Five program to make the 14 playoff. Losing, they don't. It's a lot to deal with, and I don't expect them to handle it very well. They no longer need style points either, so don't look for them to try and run it up if they get the opportunity. They just need to win. But Houston's quietly reeled off 11 straight victories since the season-opening loss to Texas Tech. Cougars have been flying under the radar, and I'm sure they feel disrespected here and going to try to prove a point here against Cincinnati. And these teams aren't that far off statistically. I mean, Houston's outgaining teams by 132 yards per game, Cincinnati by 128 yards per game, so almost identical. Houston gives up 290 yards per game on D. Cincinnati gives up 302 yards per game. So it's going to be a defensive battle, and I think getting double digits is a nice value in this instance. And Houston's really impressed me on the road, 6-0 straight up in true road games this season, outscoring opponents by 26.5 points per game. So they've done their best work on the road. I know it's been somewhat of an easy schedule, but they did beat Tulsa by 35 on the road, the same Tulsa team that nearly upset Cincinnati. The Cougars are 27-1 against the spread in their last 28 games as road underdogs. The road team 4-1-1 against the spread in the last six meetings. So give me Houston plus 10.5.
When I first saw this line for this game, I thought the Cougars were going to be an obvious play for me, but I've kind of talked myself out of it, to be honest. I really thought after watching Cincinnati win and cover rather convincingly in their last two games that everyone would be on the Bearcats, especially with them getting the game on their home field. And not saying I won't do it, but I try to avoid public dogs in big games, and I think Houston might be one here. It just looks like the books know that they were going to, they knew the money was coming in on the Cougars at this price, and they're happy to take it. I hope my gut feeling's wrong, but, and I also disagree that Cincinnati doesn't need style points. I mean, I don't think it's win and get in for them as much as I think a lot of people feel like that's how it should be. I think if Alabama beats Georgia, Michigan beats Iowa, and Oklahoma State has a convincing win over Baylor, they could get left out. So, and the other thing is Houston's played absolutely nobody. This is by far the best team they have played this year. So it scares me, but I don't think I'll be laying it with Cincinnati. So I'll
I can't disagree with anything you said, except I don't think that Oklahoma State's going to get any, even if they win, just because people are tired of the Big 12. So even though they have a championship defense, I just think people are tired of the Big
12. Yeah, that committee seems to have something against Cincinnati and like these small, the non-Power 5, though. I'm not saying it's how I think it should go, but yeah. I would say I would give it 60-40 if Oklahoma State wins convincingly.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It'll definitely be interesting to see how it plays out if all those teams win, like you said. All right, let's get on to the NFL. What do you like in the NFL this week?
I'm going to go rare total here. I'm going to take my chances with the over 50 in Sunday's NFC South matchup between the Falcons and Bucks. I don't love to play overs in division games, but these two have a history of putting up points on the board. They combined for 73 in Tampa's 48-25 win in week two when they played earlier this season, and they've combined for at least 50 in each of the last seven meetings. I think there's reason we're getting some value here with the over at only 50. It was like 51.5 in the first meeting, and you know they go over, and yet the total here's a little lower. I think that's all stemming from how this Atlanta offense has looked the past few weeks. They scored just 3 points in an ugly loss against Dallas, were shut out at home by the Patriots, and then they scored just 21 last week against the Jags. I'm not saying they're going to break out of their slump and put up 30 here, but I do think this is a good matchup for the Falcons' offense. This Tampa Bay defense is really good against the run, but they're not very good against the pass. And if you have a guy at quarterback who can throw the football, you can make plays on them. And Matt Ryan and the Atlanta offense know how to exploit this Bucs defense. They've seen it. I mean, they see it twice a year. I'm pretty confident here that they can at least put up 20, and I think that's going to be more than enough. Note to prior to playing Carson Wentz and the Colts last week, who they allowed to rack up nearly 400 yards and score 31 points despite having four turnovers, they played a really lengthy string of games against bad quarterbacks. Their previous six games saw the Bucs go up against the likes of Daniel Jones, Taylor Heineke, Trevor Siemian, Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, and Jacoby Brissett. I think it's a good time to sell high on this Tampa Bay defense, as well as buy low on the Bucs offense. While Tampa Bay still might not have Antonio Brown back, they did just get back tight end Rob Gronkowski. He had a huge game, 7 catches, 123 yards, team high 10 targets. And you also got to look at who they're playing here. The Falcons have shown no ability to slow down a good offense, and I believe it's a direct result of their inability to get pressure on the quarterback. Atlanta's 15 sacks are the fewest in the league. If you can't get to Brady and make him uncomfortable, it's game over. I got the Bucs easily getting in the 30s in this game, and I could see him topping 40. Give me the over 50.
Yeah, this game definitely sets up to be a shootout. I don't think it'll be as high scoring as the first meeting 48-25 for 73 combined points, but there won't be as many defensive touchdowns, but we just need over 50 here, and the Bucs are decimated in the secondary right now, which should allow Matt Ryan to have a big game, especially since he has a healthy Cordarrelle Patterson back to get the ball to. He seems to mean a huge amount to this offense, especially when
he does,
with Calvin Ridley out. But the Bucs did get Gronk back and are hitting on all cylinders pretty much offensively. 30 points against the Giants and then 38 against the Colts the last 2 weeks. Should get to 30 or more here, I agree. I think the Falcons get to at least 20. As they try to play catch-up against the soft Bucs secondary. And as you mentioned, I mean, the head-to-head stats are pretty great for the
alarming over here. For a division matchup. You don't typically see that.
10-1. Overs 10-1 in the last 11 meetings. Combined for 50 or more, 10 of those 11 meetings. So, seems obvious, but I'm with you here on the over.
Yeah, just don't need a dud. As long as we don't get a dud from the Falcons offense.
No, I mean, just get to 20, guys. Come on.
Yep.
I think they will.
I think so, too.
All right. I'm going to go with the Dolphins minus 4 against the Giants, team I've been riding the last few weeks, and just think they're still undervalued after their 1-7 start. They've gone 4-0 straight up, 4-0 against the spread. Since they've gotten healthy and they've gotten back to playing the same dominant defense that got them as far as it did last year. The Dolphins beat the Texans 17-9 with Jacoby Brissett and held them to 272 total yards, forced 4 turnovers. Then they beat the Ravens 22-10, held them to 304 yards, forced 2 more turnovers. Went on to beat the Jets 24-17, and last week they crushed the Panthers 33-10 at home. Held him to just 198 total yards, forced 3 more turnovers. Tua returned in the second half against the Ravens and had a great finish, completing 8 of 13 passes for 158 yards and also rushed for a score. He started against the Jets and had another solid game through the air, going 27 of 33 for 273 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Last week, 27 of 31 for 230 yards, a touchdown without an interception against a very good Carolina defense. That's 81% completions for Tua over the last 3 weeks. Having him back healthy and a dominant defense, I just think makes the Dolphins a sleeper moving forward. Now they take on a Giants team that has about as bad of an injury report as any team in the NFL right now. It got even worse with quarterback Daniel Jones ruled out this week, so Mike Glennon will get the start in his place. Miami's been blitzing a ton in recent weeks, trusting their lockdown secondary, which has been their key to their turnaround defensively. And Glennon's a statue, so he's going to be under duress all game. He doesn't have the healthy playmakers around him to get the, you know, to make the Dolphins pay for blitzing. The Dolphins are 12-4 against the spread their last 16 home games. I just think they continue their recent surge here with a 5th straight win and cover in a blowout here over the shorthanded Giants.
Yeah, are we sure Jones is out? I read earlier today that he was preparing as if he was going to play this week.
So. We're not sure. He's doubtful. Glennon's expected to start last I saw.
Right. So that does scare me a little bit here. And maybe I'm overthinking this one too much, but the Dolphins almost feel too obvious. it just does. And when you look at the injuries that New York is dealing with and how well Miami has played over the last month, the injury to Jones, I look at this and I'm like, how is it only 4? I mean, who's going to go to the ticket window and say, I want the Giants plus 4 in this one? That scares me. Is this the way the NFL works? I do think the Giants defense can keep Miami's offense from going off. I mean, in their last 5 games, the only two teams to score more than 16 against them is the Chiefs and Bucks. And KC only had 20. This is a game I could see very similar to the Giants game last week against the Eagles that they won 13-7, where, you know, it's both teams struggle to get into double digits. So it's a tough one for me. I just don't trust the Dolphins offense enough in a game that doesn't figure to see a lot of scoring to lay more in a field goal, I guess is what it comes down to me.
I just read an ESPN article. Of course it comes out like just shortly before this podcast. But yeah, 50, he's 50-50 to play this week. The big thing for me is I just think the Dolphins are going to force more turnovers here with their – I mean, the blitzing scheme for them just works out great because they can play man-to-man on the outside because they got great corners. And I just think there's going to be a key turnover. I hate relying on turnovers, but I definitely think the difference is going to be the Dolphins getting some short fields off turnovers here from the Giants. No matter who starts, I mean, Jones is kind of a turnover machine too.
But, I get what you're saying. I agree with you. If Glennon starts and his inability to move around in the pocket is a nightmare scenario against this defense. So
yeah, Jones
it's
is
a tough one.
Jones's injury is a neck injury, so it's not like he's going to be hobbled.
I'm just not a Tua believer, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Those stats,
maybe that's why they continue to be undervalued, because that's kind of everyone's thought process with them. So I don't know.
For sure. I definitely have had my doubts about him, but 81% completion in 3 weeks, that's ridiculous. I know they do a lot of short stuff, but they got the speed on the outside to turn those short ones into long gains. So.
And I think I had a couple weeks ago on here, I had a winner with the Dolphins, -3 against the Jets, or three and a half. And they really, I felt fortunate to cover that game with them. I really expected more out of them in that spot, and maybe that is another reason that I'm not in on it, but.
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
I can't say I'm going to be the one of the few that have a Giants ticket. So.
Yeah, I had the Giants and Dolphins last week, but I'm definitely going against the Giants this week. Let's get on to our teasers. We won both last week without a sweat. Let's give the listeners two more this week. What's your favorite NFL teaser for Week 13?
I'm going to do a two-team six-point teaser. I'm going to make the same tease on a couple of road teams that I actually like to win their respective games outright. First comes in Sunday's afternoon slate, where I'm going to tease the football team from +2.5 to +8.5 on the road against the Raiders. I've really liked what I've seen out of Washington here of late. It's really been surprising to me. I kind of wrote this team off midway through the season, and the defense has lived up to the hype that everyone was giving it early in the year, and they've been really good against the pass, and that's really all Las Vegas can do. And I'm not buying the Raiders' offense being fixed after one good game against a bad Cowboys defense. Other leg is on Monday Night Football. We're going to take the Pats +2.5 up to +8.5 at Buffalo. The Bills have struggled against the better teams, and this just feels like an awful matchup for Buffalo. The Bills are a finesse team, where New England might be the most physical team in the league. Physical teams have given Buffalo a lot of problems, and I got concerns for the Bills' offense and how they can't run the ball. Not only do the Pats have a great secondary that they're going to be up against, the conditions here look like they will not be ideal for throwing the football. It's supposed to be pretty moderate winds, also a decent chance of rain. Temps will be below freezing. Buffalo's one of those few teams that they aren't built really to play well at their home stadium in December. So that's my two-team 6-pointer.
Yeah, getting through the key numbers of 3, 4, and 7. I mean, the Patriots worries me a little because I'm taking the Bills in my 10-point teaser, but I think there's a good chance we both cash it. I'm doing a 10-pointer on the Rams -2.5, Chiefs pick 'em, and Bills +7.5. Teasing the Rams from 12.5 down to 2.5 at home against the Jaguars. I mean, the Rams got to be pretty motivated here after losing 3 straight. So they won't be taking the Jags lightly. Teasing the Chiefs from 10 down to pick 'em at home against the Broncos. Andy Reid off a bye. This one's pretty easy. And I'm teasing the Bills from -2.5 up to +7.5 at home against those Patriots. Can't see them losing by more than a touchdown at home. But I respect your opinion on the matchup being a bad one if the weather's bad for Buffalo.
I mean, it's bad if the weather's good. So, I can get behind the Rams and Chiefs. I do not trust the Bills enough, even at 7.5, to feel good about it. New England's just not a team right now that I want to have any money against. It's kind of like back in the early days, it feels like, when they weren't the Patriots quite yet. I mean, no one ever wanted to believe in them, and all they did was cover. I don't know.
I haven't been going against them during this run, thank goodness.
That's a good thing, yeah. But, I've been on them a few times. I was hesitant last week, and I was kicking myself.
Yeah, but. Yeah. Once it got up to 7. Yeah, we both had them in teasers. Not on the podcast. I didn't, but you did. I tweeted out Patriots -1, Dolphins +8.5, and Broncos +8.5 is all the teasers. I round-robined all three of those teasers. So, yeah, I mean, it is just easier to take the Patriots down to 1 than lay the 7 after you miss, if you miss the early
right
numbers.
I mean, I guess I did bet the Patriots. I just didn't.
Yep.
But, yeah. I mean, we'll find out about Buffalo. I mean, they lose this game. They almost lose the division, having to go to New England later. If they can't win this one, I don't know. Losing that corner is bad news, too. So.
We'll learn a lot in that game on Monday night for sure.
Yeah, what a great Monday night game.
Yeah, best one of the year so far.
Maybe.
Well, potentially. Yeah, you never know how if it's going to live up to the hype, but definitely feels like it should. All right, give out your Twitter handle for the listeners and let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @BLeeSportsPicks.
All right, you can find me at @BetFirmsJack. You can find Brandon at @BLeeSportsPicks. Get free picks daily from both of us on Twitter and sign up for a premium package from both of us at sportscapping.com or betfirm.com and subscribe to us on iTunes too. Good luck with all your bets for week 13 NFL and week 14 college football, guys.
Thanks for listening to the sportscapping.com podcast. For more free picks and predictions, be sure to visit us at sportscapping.com.